Our life is in the Lord. It is in the love of the Lord that enables us to be loving towards others. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour forth your Spirit on these, your people, on the words that I speak, on the meditations of all of our hearts, that they may be acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. For the confirmation retreat last weekend, Pastor Ginny asked our youth to come and bring a favorite Bible verse or story to share with one another. If I were to ask you to pick your favorite Bible verse or story, particularly one which speaks to you about who we are as to be a church in mission, you might well choose one of these two passages. But likely one of them might be more dominant in your choosing than the other to reflect your own passion for mission. This was brought home to me several years ago when I had a conversation with one of my former co-pastors here, and we realized when we were talking about mission and the passages of Scripture that inform us that we chose these two separate passages, and we found that fascinating. We found that difference and the passion that we had for each amazingly electric in the ways in which it came together to a powerful dynamic of respect and challenge to one another, where we could learn from one another and grow as we lived into those differences. I would call them social justice and evangelism mission. And I would say that they are both essential to the work of God's church. Now, for some of you, you may be already starting to tune out on me here in this sermon and saying, what's the big deal? They both fit together perfectly. I'm not going to take a poll here in the congregation and not going to make you raise your hands, but I think there may be some of you here who may hold one more passionately than the other. And I would suggest to you that many a church war has been fought over debating which one is really, really mission. Telling the good news of Jesus Christ in baptizing and making disciples, or tending one-on-one to the needs of God's children. Perhaps you've even engaged in combat over that as well. I've been inspired recently by the way in which Pope Francis has been speaking out about the core values of the faith that we share as a Christian church. If you haven't read the transcript of his extensive interview, which is getting a lot of publicity these days, that he held forth in August, I urge you to look for it and to take time to ponder the vision he is setting forth. Among many things, he says, the thing the church needs most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of the faithful. It needs nearness, proximity. Instead of being just a church that welcomes and receives by keeping the doors open, let us also try to be a church that finds new roads. That is to step outside of itself and go to those who do not attend Mass, to those who have quit or are indifferent. The ones who quit sometimes do it for reasons that, if properly understood and assessed, can lead to return. But to reach out in that way takes audacity and courage, he says. Here at PPC, at Providence Presbyterian Church, we have passionate advocates of both these perspectives on mission, and it should be that way. After all, both of these texts are powerful words that Jesus commands in our scripture in Matthew's gospel. I appreciate this church's current mission statement, which clearly underlines, celebrates, and seeks to live into both of these perspectives. It is who we have been in the past, and the passion is what makes us strong as we live into crafting a church which embodies both. We strive to use our myriad gifts and resources to share God's message of love while enriching the spiritual growth of each individual and serving the needs of our diverse community and the world. A dynamic fullness of God's work for us to embrace, as well as to have frequent debates about it. This series of sermons that we have been preaching in August and September on the great ends of the church and our current in-between time inevitably lead us to reflect what really matters about our faith and mission. What are the core values that we as a church, as individuals in the church, seek to live out in mission? And where do we seek to grow in that? We can be challenged by these two texts to live and grow in such mission. In Matthew 25, Jesus challenges us to meet the particular, the one-on-one, to see Christ in the other, to step outside of our comfort zones, to meet the needs of those who are in need, not just when it's convenient for us, but wherever we find ourselves. For all of us are one family created by God. And when we do so, we see Christ in the other. Last year on a Sunday, about a dozen of our folks from this church walked in the 27th annual AIDS Walk that Phil referenced earlier today. We made that an intentional choice to invite people to be not only here on Sunday morning in worship together, in nurture, in sharing together the faith, but also to be outside these walls, to be walking in our faith. This year, we were blessed to have a Saturday walk, and yesterday, 36 of us walked, all ages and background, a living witness to the needs of our community and the church's call to reach out with care, love, and support and encouragement to make a better world. There's a picture of all who walked from our church on the mission bulletin board in the Hope Room this morning. Kayla McClurg writes in a devotional that I read from earlier in this month, "Have you noticed that Scripture doesn't spend a lot of time telling us how to feel as we live as this new creation that God has created in us? It simply says, here's what you do. Entertain strangers. Put yourself in their skin. Walk in their shoes. Prisoners, too. And people being tortured, the whole of suffering humanity. And it says, don't try this alone. Yoke yourself to Jesus and to one another." She says, "I keep forgetting that part, that the you in Scripture is more often plural than singular. Together, we can do great things for God. And in that, we see Christ, we meet Christ, and we are made whole and never the same again." Matthew 28, the end of Matthew's gospel, closes on a very global view. Jesus concludes his challenge in Matthew with the Great Commission, the call to spread this gospel message and make disciples, baptizing and teaching to the ends of the earth. It was very exciting yesterday to come home from the AIDS walk and flip on my email, as I am wont to do, and to see the letters that we're asking for mentors from this church to walk with our confirmation class in that journey. A living illustration of what this sermon was all about. Each youth in the confirmation class has looked around this congregation at the members you are, and is asking you to accompany them on a journey they are taking this year. They are specifically requesting some of you for this journey that they will take in learning what it means to be a disciple of Christ and a member of this church. It's a large class for us, about a dozen strong, and I hope you will hold in prayer, whether you're asked to be one of their mentors or not, all of them as they journey through this time of growing and learning in their faith. I hope that the mentors who have been asked to serve will be open to that call in their life, even if it scares you a little bit. Even if you may feel that you haven't figured out everything you need to know about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, that is the journey. To disciple these youth, to speak the good news of Jesus Christ as we have heard it, and to share our faith joyfully with one another. We live in a changing world. That is clear every time we open our worship service to the joys and concerns of this congregation and the world, a world where it is often difficult to see where and how God is at work, and yet every week we hear new calls to serve God in the world. The closing of Matthew 28 echoes loudly and strengthens us today, reminds us always that Jesus says, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Like the psalmist proclaims in one of our Psalms of Ascent that we are studying through these months as well, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time on and forevermore." Later in October, the World Council of Churches will consider a new ecumenical mission affirmation that has been worked on for a long time now. It's titled Together Towards Life, Mission and Evangelism in Changing Landscapes. It reads in part, "The church exists by mission, just as fire exists by burning. If it does not engage in mission, it ceases to be church." It is not the church that has a mission, the statement says, but rather a mission that has the church. The mission has a church to find and see and serve the other and so to serve Christ, to make disciples and share good news with all God's people, taking risks and trusting God to help finish what we have started. Mother Teresa put it this way, "To do what you can, where you are, with what you have." So let us live into mission, today and all days, here and to the ends of the earth. Amen.